11.
While you're turning there, well, that came on.
Hebrews chapter 11.
While you're turning there, I'll read you a little something. This is a letter to Dr. Joyce Brothers. Amen. Give you some of the world's philosophy. Amen. You say, why do you read this? I like to read this because it gets me mad. It gets me into the preaching mood. It says, Dear Dr. Brothers, what am I supposed to do with my 7-year-old son when he throws temper tantrums? Got any ideas? Invariably, he behaves badly in public places or at homes of relatives or close friends. I sometimes wonder if he does it to embarrass me as much as to get what he wants. His father says we should always spank him.
Amen, Daddy.
Thank God for Dad. You can always count on Dad for that. Amen. At least my dad, anyhow. But he's never around when our boy is throwing a fit. No kidding. I don't like spanking him, but I also don't like his bad temper, WH. Dear WH, now here's the world. Here's philosophy, college education. You can reason with a 7-year-old. Although you may not be able to get through to him at the time of his tantrums. I can honestly standing before you tonight, before God, I don't ever remember throwing a temper tantrum. Say, why? I'm alive. Amen. My dad would have killed us. There's 5 of us boys. We used to go somewhere and people would comment to my mom or dad, said, man, you have the most well-behaved boys. Me and my brothers, we'd look at each other. We didn't have a choice. We wasn't allowed, if we went to somebody's house, we wasn't allowed to ask for nothing to eat, nothing to drink. He'd say, I don't care if your tongue is sticking to the roof of your mouth. Was anybody else raised that way? Amen. Now, these little brats in here, we let's just take a break and whip all of them, can we? Said, you might not be able to get through the time of his hand. Rather than spank a child or use any physical punishment, the best thing to do is simply pick him up and remove him from the scene. Take him home immediately and send him to his room until he can discuss his feelings and needs quietly and in rational terms. Now, don't you older folks, don't you remember that? It is important to be consistent about your response to his tantrums in order to break the habit. When he's calm, set him down and talk with him. Ask him if he knows why he behaves in such a childish way. He's a kid. He's 7 years old. And as long as he disrupts others, he will not get what he wants. Instead, he will lose privileges. Now listen to this. For example, you will not allow him to go with you when you shop or visit friends and family. Man, that's cruel. We're going to Grandma's house, but you can't go. Amen. Do you know there's people that will not come to church because of their little brat? Amen. They're afraid they put their baby in the nursery, it'll bite somebody else's nose off in there or something. Amen. I was in a motel room in Pennsylvania back in March. And out in the little place where you had the continental breakfast and all, there was a family there, and I guess they was taking care of their estate. Somebody had died. And there was the mom and dad. There was a grandma and grandpa. There was 2 of their daughters, 1 daughter's husband and her 2 kids, and the other one looked like she was maybe single. The one little kid they had was a brat. I mean, just, they'd give it, she'd fix her some cereal. She goes, here's your cereal, honey. And he'd just take it and go, just dump it on the table. And I'm sitting there reading the paper, and I'm looking over the paper going, and here's the grandpa. He's looking over the table going, whip that boy. let him get away with that. And he'd look over at that kid and go, and she'd move him out of the way and go, don't do that, honey. And she'd left for a minute because, you know, they was getting heated on her. She went to Walmart and bought him some toys. He just takes the toys and throws them. No, I don't want them. And her sister goes, you better get a hold of that kid. You better start whipping him. And boy, she just went ballistic. She just went berserk. And she grabs the boy, gets mad at her whole family, and goes over the side. And this is what she said to that little boy. Everybody hates you right now. And I was thinking, boy, I had to bite my tongue. I'm sitting there going, you know why they don't want that little kid around? Because of her. Amen. It's her fault. We got kids sitting right in here at spoiled brats. Bless their heart. Amen. Because you're going to have a rough way to go in life because some mama was so selfish or some daddy was so sorry. Amen. Isn't this fun? I tell you, let's just whip every kid in here. You will not allow him to go with you when you visit friends and family. Unless he proves that he will not repeat his offense, teach him how to express his feelings in words and then to negotiate, compromise, and bargain for what he wants. You raise a kid like that, you know what? You'll raise another Barack Obama. Amen. Amen. That has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but that helps me. It gets me into the preaching. It's just, amen. But look in Hebrews chapter number 11, and it is. I have appreciated the meeting. I'm glad folks come out. Some folks have been here every service. Got visitors that's come out, and I appreciate that. You don't see many other churches and pastors come to revival meetings anymore like y'all done. I'm serious. I go all over the country. You don't see that very much. So I appreciate you fellas coming. Really do. Amen. It's a blessing. And being as y'all come over here, you expect this bunch to come to y'all's church when you have something, don't you? Amen. So did you hear that? Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11. Bible says in verse number 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That faith that we know of and what we cherish and what makes everything go around, you can't see it. It's not something tangible. Amen. It's evidence of things not seen. Nobody here has seen God at any time. Nobody here has seen a 60-foot Jesus. Amen. Nobody has. Well, I was praying in the woods, and the Lord walked up to me and put his hand on my head and said I was going to be the prophet of the age. No, you ate something bad. You take an allergy medicine. You got a Benadryl buzz or something. Nobody's seen God. Amen. You had a vision. No, you didn't have a vision. You ate too much pizza before you went to bed. It's like the fellow that dreamed he ate a 50-pound marshmallow and he woke up and his pillow was gone. What we know of God and the evidence of God, some of us sitting right here in this room. Amen. You've never got under conviction, amen, out fishing. You've never had God to deal with your sin. Amen. While you've been out deer hunting.
That's right.
You're not going to learn God. You're not going to learn the ways of God by nature. Say, so where do you learn them? Around the people of God. Around what God uses. Old time preaching. Amen. Evidence of things not seen. Look what it says in verse number 2. For by it, that's faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now listen, I don't know what you want out of life. I don't know what your goal is, if you ever use that term. It's kind of a modern catchphrase today. You know, what's your goals? I don't know what you want to be in life, but I'll tell you what, having a good report from God, man, how's it get any better than that? Amen. Not so much what we think about you here tonight. What's God think about you? Amen. Can God trust you? Does God have any confidence in you? Amen. Does he even know you? Now, I like people to say, you know, man, Brother Mark, I know you're saved. That's a blessing. But it's much better for God to know I'm saved. Amen. Well, I know Brother Mark's called to preach, or I know Brother Gary's called to preach, but I like it much better when God knows I'm called to preach. Amen. What does he know about you? I'll tell you what he does know. He knows everything. He knows what's going through your pea brain right now. Sitting here right now, everybody's mind is going 100 miles an hour while you're sitting there. You ever get tired of that little voice in your head? Hey, that little voice, that little inner chamber in there, it can talk me into or out of anything. Ma, if we turned on the speaker here tonight and everybody, man alive, you talk about a mess. I wish he'd shut up. Who's he think he is? Is she looking at me? I'm telling you, if you knew what was going on in here. I know this, my mind, it can outweigh anything the Bible says. I can talk myself out of any preaching. You ever done that? Well, it's just his opinion. Oh, you ought to see it from up here. A couple things I preach against really get folks. One of them, smoking. How many smokers we got in here? Amen. I'm telling you, let me ask you this. While you're smoking, you ever prayed while you're smoking? I was in a meeting, we got people put them on the altar sometimes, and they put them on the communion table, you know, after the meeting. So I had an example to walk around with all week. And the cigarettes, the name brands ain't there no more. Nobody can afford them. So instead of Marlboro, you know, it's some kind of off brand, you know, some cheap brand. So I said, man, look at here. And I'm walking around with them cigarettes. And I pull one out. And I got it in my hand. I said, what does it look like to see a preacher with a cigarette in his hand? I said, does that look right? And I put it in my mouth and was walking around with it. And I look down and I go, hey, there's some matches in here. And the pastor goes, oh, no, don't, Brother Mark. But you preach against that, preach against music. Oh, you can see them, they'll roll their eyes. Oh, here we go, here's another one. I knew he was going to hit on that. You ought to see it. Amen. But the Bible talks about faith. And all this chapter, all this Word of God, this chapter here in the Bible, this is the faith chapter in the Word of God. And all these people are bigger than life. Starts talking about Noah and Moses and Abraham and, man, all the heroes of the faith. And you get down to the end of the chapter, and that's where I want you to look. Look in verse number 32. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. But that's a mouthful. Amen. David, boy, I like David. I've heard some preachers give him a hard way to go. You better be careful. God, he really liked David. He said David was a man after his own heart. David's mighty men. You like those guys? Man, I'll tell you what. Shamgar. Shamgar even sounds bad. Hey, you keep it up, I'll tell Shamgar. No, man, don't do that. Bible says Shamgar killed 300 with an ox goad. I don't really know what an ox goad looks like, but I know I don't want to be killed with one. But those guys, they're bigger than life. And man, that's our example of faith. They had a good report. They were mentioned in the Word of God. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Look what it says, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Boy, I like that. Amen. That's what we did in Iraq. We subdued that kingdom. They got a thing today I seen on Fox News, or even McCain's even talking about, where President Bush had that banner, Mission Accomplished. They're talking about the war in Iraq. Listen, folks, we won the war in Iraq in 26 days. We're still over there now. The Iraqi government is working with us. Amen. Don't you remember the statue coming down of Saddam Hussein? Didn't that give you kind of a rush? It did me. Amen. We subdued that kingdom. We took it over. Amen. You say, we're still over there. We're still in Germany. We're still in Korea. Mission was accomplished. We subdued it. Took over. We probably should have just went ahead and took everything. Amen. Made it Walt Disney Middle East. Nuke them till they glow. Shoot them at night. That one gets me in trouble too. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Now look at those words carefully. Wrought righteousness. Amen. They came over, they take over a town. And they made people live right. What if we did that today? What if we just got all the men of the church together and just built, you know, got a majority of us? And then if you're sitting here and you're a deadbeat dad, we just go to your house, just whoop the daylights out of you. Amen. Just have a little vote. Say, all right, we got a couple here in the church. They're arguing, fighting, and fussing. He ain't doing right. He's going out and blowing the money. He's drinking and blowing the money. We're going to get the men together, and we're going to go over tonight and just whoop the snot out of him. Amen. We're going to pour all of his booze down the drain. We're going to tar and feather him. We're going to run him out of town on a rail. Amen. I don't know if that shouldn't be such a bad idea. But you talk about wrought righteousness. That's what they did. It said obtain promises. Stop the mouths of lions. Everybody knows who that was. Quench the violence of fire. Y'all know who them were. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. I get in trouble for that one too. Amen. Oh, man. Some people just don't have a sense of humor. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Wax valiant and fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Man, you vidiots that are sitting here, don't that sound cool? You halo nuts and all you. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Folks, these people were bigger than life. I mean, that's the evidence of faith. But I want you to notice how the chapter changes. See those two little dots? And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted. Why, these were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And look what it says. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want to preach a while tonight about these others. These others. Listen, the first part of the chapter, it talks about all the people, I mean, bigger than life. I mean, just heroes of the faith. Then it gets down to the end here, and it talks about these folks here. And listen, it didn't go that way with them. If we was to, tonight, if we was to split this crowd in two, I mean, how many real champions of the faith would you stand up tonight and claim yourself in the same breath or the same sentence with Moses, David, and Samuel, and with Noah? I doubt if anybody here put themselves in that category. But I'll tell you something you can put in a category. You can put them in a category of the others. Listen, folks, since I've been saved and been going, especially the last 17 years, going from church to church, you know who I run into all the time? I run into the others. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you young people something. You think God's people are corny and you think they're out of style and, you know, they're out of touch and they don't know what's going on. I'm telling you, sitting in here is some of the greatest people you'll ever run into in your life. Through all adversity, through all hell on earth, through health problems, trials, death, alcoholism, drugs, they're still here. Amen. I got in a meeting here, it's been a while ago, and I was preaching with another preacher. And usually I just try my best, man. When I'm preaching with somebody else, I pray for them like myself. And this guy, he was preaching at a church that I'd been preaching to for years, 10 years. So I knew everybody in there. Well, he got up and preached one night, and he started chewing them all out. I mean, just chewing them out. And boy, the Lord just really gave me a good picture of myself. And it made me mad. It made me mad because he was trying to get them to shout and stuff. And some of the folks in there, he don't know what they've been through. You know, he's just looking on the outside. I knew from experience. I remember one time at a church, there's a fellow preaching and he looked down and there was a lady there in the congregation and she'd lean over every once in a while and talk to her husband while he's preaching. He goes, ma'am, will you please refrain from talking while I'm preaching? Then he looked down a minute later and there's a guy looking at his watch. Sir, you watch one more time. I'm going to preach another 15 minutes just for... And he's preaching at church. About that time, the pastor got up. He walked up and he says, excuse me, sir, you're done. Stepped in front of him and said, that's it. Thank you, sir. You can have a seat down there. He said, that lady you was talking about right there said she's deaf. She can't hear. She's asking her husband what you said. Said the other one over here looking at the watch, she's got to take medication about every 30 minutes. He said, I'd appreciate if you wouldn't talk that way to my folk. Amen. Amen. And this guy was preaching, chewing everybody out. He didn't know what they'd been through. I don't know everybody in here. I don't know what you've been through, but I know what some of y'all have. And I'll tell you what impresses me is you're here through all that. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what faith says. Faith says, good report. Good report. These others, girls, these others, young men, you know what you're going to have to do if you get out, if you don't do right? You know what you're going to do? You have to walk across them. You're going to have to jaywalk across them. What's going to be your excuse? Well, I was bored in the church, man. Nobody liked me there. We found out last night that ain't right. See, I snuck up on you last night. I pulled the rug out from under you. You got no excuse now. Amen. I got you. And some of the very people that walked over and got you and had you come down and pray, some of them are the others. They've been through it. Amen. And preachers, we've got a few pastors here, and I love preaching to preachers. I'm going to tell you something. You got to be careful. You got to be careful not being so cynical. Amen. Because I'm telling you, these folks pay our bills. And God's people are the best. You say, well, you don't know about them what I know about them, and you don't know what this one's done and that one's done. Well, let's follow you around for a while. Amen, amen. Let me give you from another side of the perspective. Got some old boys here trying to make it out of alcoholism and stuff. Trying to make it out of the drug culture. You ever been there? Man, after I got saved, I had flashbacks for 5 years. You ever had those? How about going through detox? You ever had to do that? Better be careful. Say, well, she's sorry, and she's no count, and there ain't no count, and I don't know about them. You ever went through divorce? I'm telling you, folks, I have run into some soldiers. They don't look like what you think is being a soldier. I do got an outline. I'll give you a first point because I'm already starting to dive into it. Amen. These others in the Bible, they made news in heaven. They made news in heaven. We was at a meeting not too long ago, and after the service was over the last night, we was getting ready to leave. I come down off the platform, and I seen a lady walk up to my wife, and she grabbed her and hugged her and wouldn't let go of my wife. She's crying. She's talking in her ear. We got done, and I said, what was going on there? I've known her for 16 years. And my wife got tears in her eyes, and she said she was apologizing to me because she couldn't put nothing in the love offering. And said she told me her husband won't let her put anything in. And she's crying, and she says, he won't let me tithe neither. I don't know what that's like. My wife don't know what that's like. And there that lady is every night, that meeting. And she's crying because she couldn't put nothing in. I'm telling you, folks, I have been surrounded by them. I can spot them now. I know what they look like. They're here. They serve God when everything's against them. I don't know why it's like that way, but it is. I don't know why the Lord moves like that, but I know he does. Some of the best people I've ever known in my life have to go through the worst circumstances of life. We was talking last night about Brother Hanstein.
Yes, sir.
Brother Hanstein was shot with an AK-47 round in Vietnam, was paralyzed from the waist down. He was the great, one of the greatest Christians I've ever known in my life. Then before he died, he got Lou Gehrig's disease. I'll never forget one of the last times I heard him preach. Never forget it. We was in a meeting as a 4th of July service. They preached and they honored all the veterans. When they set his wheelchair up on the platform, I'm telling you, my heart almost busted inside my chest. There he was crying, representing, amen, the military men. But he sat right down here in his wheelchair, grabbed a box of Kleenexes. And by this time, that Lou Gehrig's disease had almost had him. And he put that box of Kleenexes down there and pulled them Kleenexes out, sitting in that wheelchair. And he'd wipe his tears. And he'd say, I'm going to preach message from death's door. Said, I'm at a place where you've never been. I am going to die. Man, I'm telling you, never heard nothing like that in my life. Called three men out of the audience. Three men came up and stood right here. These members of that church. He looked at those fellows and he goes, let me ask you a question. You have any neighbors love you? First guy standing there, he's about my age, and he goes, not that I know of. Second guy, third guy's about 70 years old, and he goes like this. He goes, I think I've got one. that I think loves me, one neighbor. And I'll never forget what Brother Mike said. He looked and he goes, I want you to look out here, just your church. They love you. Man, the light came on. Amen. I mean, why the people that live around me, they don't know me like my church does. Brother Mike said, when they told me I had Lou Gehrig's disease, said I wanted my church to pray for me. Say, why? God's people are the best. You get out of sorts with them, you get out, you suffer. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Hey, stay with God anyhow. You say, well, I'm going through a horrible time. Stay with him anyhow. Faith can say, good report. Amen. God don't see things like we do. Amen. I said last night about the twins. I don't know. I told them last night standing over yonder. I said, listen, fellas, God, you're the kind of fellas God likes to use. You know why? You know why? So they ain't going to take no credit. If God does something with them, how could they take the credit? Hardly done anything right in their life. Amen. Say, so how do you know that? I've been there, done that. So now if anything gets done, if somebody gets saved, how can I take credit for it? Amen. God does that. Remember in the Bible, the little widow woman that came, put her two mites in? Here she come. Puts her two mites in. The Lord says, hey, look here. Did you see that? Them disciples, what? Said, everybody else put in out of their abundance. But she put in through her penury. Amen. He knew she put in all that she could. God don't look, he don't look at this crowd like you think he does. I like what Lester Roloff used to say. Lester Roloff say, do you think I preach direct? He'd say, son, I know what God wants out of you. You know what he wants from you? He wants the impossible. Because if it's possible, you'll take the credit for it. But if it's impossible, how in the world? How could you take the credit for it? You know what some folks are facing in here? And you know what you will be facing? Impossible odds. You don't know what the future holds. You might not think you need this message now, but you will someday. Oh, Brother Mike, me and Brother Danny Hall, we went to see him at his house. Miss Sue had built a room in their house and had a hospital bed in there. She had a machine that had to get the saliva out of his mouth because Brother Mike couldn't swallow no more. We went in there, Brother Danny Hall took his instruments in, and we all sang, and we was talking to Brother Mike, and we was praying with him, and we got in there, and we tried to make him laugh, and in there we asked him, said, Brother Mike, said, would you pray for us? Well, Brother Hanstein looked up past that old ceiling and started going, he couldn't understand nothing he said by then. And he started praying, and man, I'm telling you, it was like a window opened up in heaven. God stuck his head down in there and said, what do you want, Mike? Man, we couldn't hardly lift your head up in there. He got done praying. Brother Danny leaned over the bed. He started going, he's coming back, Brother Mike. Lord's coming. He's coming back. Oh, Brother Mike leaned over to his wife, Miss Sue, and went, and she could still understand him. We go, what'd he say? She started crying, and she said, oh, Brother Mike says he's here. See, for us, he's just coming. But old Brother Mike says, oh, no, he's here. Amen. The Lord tarries, some of you older folks sitting here might have to say goodbye to your best friend. Amen. You'll think all life stops.
But I'm going to tell you something. That's when God will be the sweetest. And you being here, what a testimony. That's them others. Amen. I'm telling you, you get out, you treat this place haphazardly. You can talk about folks you want to. Better be careful who you talk about. They might just be right on the Lord's good list that day. He might take offense to you talking about them. Amen. Others. They made news in heaven. I'll tell you what else about these others. Nothing went right. Why, other folks, their women, their young was raised to life again. Not these others. These others, they lost them. They were tortured. You ever heard that song by the... Oh, what's that big family that sang? Can't even think of their name. Brain Freeze. But the family that sings that song about the feller being on the... burning at the stake. He's being burnt at the stake, and the guy's looking at his wife and says, "If you make him recant, we'll let him loose." And the wife stands there and builds her courage up. She finally says, "If he goes, so will I." Amen. Amen. That song says, "Shall we go to glory on beds of flowery ease while others flowed through bloody seas?" What's going to be your excuse? What's going to be your excuse to get out of church? You think you got one that's obsolete? I've been in meetings before, brother, where there's been a lady come in with an IV. Man, you talk about getting you under conviction. She's sitting there in the service with an IV. Well, they didn't come tonight because they got a little headache coming on. Size 32 baseball bat. Show you what a headache is. Amen. Got a little bit of a cold. And others sitting there. Amen. Brother Danny Hall. I don't know if you all know Brother Danny or not. I don't know if anybody's been through more than he has. You know what Brother Danny and Miss Dee Dee are? They're the others. They're the others. Brother Danny was pastoring in Brunswick, Georgia. He had him a little church going, started himself. They had a little baby. The little baby died. Didn't have no money, have no funeral or nothing. He dug her own grave. Got a little styrofoam box. Buried her himself. Got stuff and made a little headstone for his own baby. We went out there one time with him. We sat down in Georgia preaching together. We went and found that little cemetery. There's about eight graves in that little cemetery, a little family plot. Somebody let him have a plot there in the church. We went out there and knelt down around that little grave and took some shears and cut the grass around there, and we moved it back, and you could see the little name that he had scratched in himself with a little screwdriver in that cement. And we held our hands around there and sang Amazing Grace. We left out of that church. Brother Danny said, "I'm going to show you something, Brother Mark." I said, "I'm going to show you what the Lord did for us this day." And we drove down a little country road and come out on the main road. And when we did, there's a little Baptist church sitting there. We pulled over in the parking lot of that church. And he goes, "Look at the name of that church." He goes, "This is what we seen that day we buried our daughter." And the name of that church was Rising Daughter Baptist Church. We took pictures of it. Think he'd had a reason to quit? Brother Danny, they hollered at him one day there. He's at home. Somebody hollered and said, "Danny, Brother Danny, your mama's house is on fire." Went up there on the hill where his mama lived. And the house was burnt down. He found her in there. She's barely alive. They called the ambulance and all that. Said he's sitting in the hospital room with his little mama. and said the only thing that looked like mama is we're in the fire. She had her eyes clenched. And the only thing that looked like his mama said was her eyelids right there. Said everything else was burnt. And he sat there and he watched his little mama die. Well, then he found out, because he was an intravenous drug user before he got saved, he's an old heroin addict, that a lot of people would have never even let in their church. Because it took him about a year, year and a half to get off all that stuff. Would you have enough grace? Because of them old needles and stuff, he had to have a liver transplant. Man, he's been through it. But I'll tell you what, you'll never be around a better Christian man. I've watched him. You know who he is? He's one of them others. One of them others. There's some of them here. Oh, you better be careful how you talk about folk. Better be careful how you treat God's people. Amen. Amen. Nothing went right. You ever been there? You know, the little light comes on in your car, service engine soon. Somebody will say, oh, Brother Mark, that's probably just a sensor. No, it ain't no sensor. No, it's going to cost about $1,000 to get it fixed. You know, your car gets a little hesitation in it. It's probably just a fuel filter. No. No, it ain't a fuel filter. It's the fuel injection system's bad. Been there, done that. Amen. Nothing goes right. Flat tire happens right at the opportune moment. Everything breaks down. Revival happens. The stove goes out. The microwave blows up. Amen. Your wife throws a cup and hits you in the head with it. Some of y'all, you can't get real mad at your wife because if push come to shove, she can probably take you in a fist fight. But everything falls apart. You think being a child of God just kind of takes you bypass all that? Oh, no. Oh, no. Some of us sitting here, folks, the baggage we had on us before we saved, it ain't no wonder we got to go through some of the junk we go through. Amen. You did marry him. You did marry her. Amen. I don't know why, but she was attracted to you. That's the mercy and grace of God in itself. Amen. Somebody told my pastor one day, he said, preacher, he's another pastor. He said, I get tired of all the problems and troubles people got. I'm just sick of it. My preacher looked at him and says, get out of the ministry then. Another guy told my preacher one day, he says, I just make it a policy I don't get close to my folks. That I'm not there to be their friend. My pastor looked at him and says, how in the world then can you pastor anybody? He says, man, I love all my folk. He said, they ain't just my friends. Man, they're our church.
Amen.
Amen. How's it go you with folks in here? I can test your spiritual thermometer. How are you with people in your church? How close are you with these folks sitting in here? Amen. Some of you kids, when are you going to get in? Amen. When are you going to get out of the weird zone? You think this world, you think they're going to adopt you in? You think they're going to be good to you? You know what kids do? They start wearing dark clothes, dark eyes. Fit into that crowd, you got to start piercing yourself and branding yourself. Amen. Start looking like death. All in here, man, you can. This place where even squares can have a ball. You can be straight and have fun in here. Amen. These others. I went to Billy Sunday's birthplace. He's got a place up there on Indiana on the lake. And we got to go up there, and they had a little Billy Sunday museum.
Man, I enjoyed that. They said he had 1 million people walk the Sawdust Trail and got saved. 1 million. He said, well, I don't know how many of those got saved. Well, how many of your 50 got saved?
That's right.
Amen. And boy, he'd preach. They had little clips of him preaching on, you know, old reel-to-reel tapes. And they showed him, man, he'd take his tie off. He'd take his jacket off. A couple times, he'd take his dress shirt off. He's preaching in his T-shirt. Sweating, man, he'd preach like that. He'd preach against booze. He'd walk up and down through the chairs and stuff. Preach like a house on fire. They said the hardest thing he ever preached against was booze. He hated it. We went through the little house there where he used to live, and I was looking at his study and his books, and the guy that took me and the pastor, it was just the three of us, he was taking his tour guide. And I asked that fellow, I said, let me ask you something, sir. I said, I've read and heard stories that Preacher Sunday, he preached against booze, but it got some of his own family. And that guy put his head down. He said, old Preacher Sunday, said he preached against booze with all of his heart and all of his might. He said two of his boys died drunks. You know who Billy Sunday was? He was one of my others.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Dan Metters talked to him one day, and Brother Dan looked at me and he said, Mark, he said, the devil's going to try to get us where our heart is. Amen. Got a boy. I got two kids. I got a boy and a girl. My girl's in, my boy's out. I know what it looks like when a kid's out. Some of you are out. Know what it looks like. I study it. I make it my life. I know when you're not in. And boy, nothing will tear a daddy or mama's heart out more than that.
That's right.
Brother Piet stood up here a little while ago and said, I'm not quitting. Boy, I've said that. But when my boy got out, I said, Lord, I ain't quitting church, but I can't be no evangelist. Ain't no way. How can I preach to other kids and my boy is out? I remember I quit. Told my preacher. I said, preacher, I can't be an evangelist. Ain't no way. My preacher stepped up to me and says, you can't quit, Brother Mark. I go, no, sir, you don't understand. I already have. I said, I'll be here in church, but I can't. He stepped closer and he goes, you can't quit. By this time, I'm already mad as the devil anyhow. He's this big around. I'm looking at him. I said, preacher, I've already quit. He said, you can't. He goes, where are you supposed to go next? I said, I'm supposed to go to Houston. Start out the year in Houston, Texas, down at Shady Acres. He goes, you go. I go, preacher, I don't know if I can. He said, you go anyhow. Me and my wife went down there. You ever listen to your wife cry herself to sleep every night? You kids, look at me. Look up here. Some of them are crying over you now. We got to Houston, got to that meeting, big camp meeting. Everybody wants to preach at the big camp meeting. 500 people there. You know, 50 preachers. Man, I come just crawling in there. Brother Farley comes over to me and goes, Brother Marks, I think we're going to start with you. I told him, I said, preacher, I don't think I can do it. He goes, you can do it, buddy. Boy, they sang. And I remember getting up behind the pulpit. I got up there and all that big church. I said, folks, I don't know. Old Brother Farley walked up, put his arm around me, and he said, this is our friend. He said, let's come down here and pray for Brother Mark. Boy, that whole church come to the altar and prayed for me. God's people are the best. Boy, they's praying. I felt the wind blowing my cape a little bit. Amen. Got behind the pulpit, was able to preach. Got done preaching that night. Service was over, and a young man walked up to me, and he goes, Brother McGahee. He's about 24 years old, about the same age as my boy. He said, "Hey, you remember me?" I said, "No, son, I don't." He said, "I got saved right at this meeting. 3 years ago, you was preaching." He said, I'm pastoring now. Little church down in Georgia." And boy, he hugged my neck and he said, "You're the only reason I came here this week, to see you." I hugged him. I said, "Son, you don't know how bad I needed to hear that." Later on in that week, it got on. Folks were shouting. The Lord says, "Why don't you shout? Don't feel like shouting. You do it anyway." I looked up there and I seen that flag up way up on the platform. The Lord says, "Go ahead, son. Be all right." I walked up on the platform. I said, "Brother Farr, do you think it'd be all right if I grabbed that flag?" He said, "I think it'd be all right." Grabbed the old flag and walked around there. Woo! Amen. Boy, I've had people write me little notes. Folks says, "Glad you didn't quit, Brother Mark. You thinking about quitting? Thinking about getting out? It's getting heavy. Stay with it. Stay with it." People come to me now, you know, for advice, which that's a joke. People come about, "You wouldn't believe the stories I hear. You wouldn't believe it." They'll come up and tell me some tragedy happened in their life. You know what one of my patented answers is now? I'll say, "I don't know why it's happening to you." I said, "But God knows." And I said, "You have a grand opportunity to let your light shine for the Lord. And I know this, if you still stay with God through what's going on right now, God can use that more than you'll ever dream." Amen. Lester Roloff said, "Sorrow is God's mechanic in the workshop of life." Amen. Two philosophies, if there is such a thing, in the ministry. All right? If things are going real good, folks will say you've compromised. If things are going real bad, folks will say God's chastening you. If things are going good, you got to be careful not to be boastful. Things are going real bad, you got to be careful not to get bitter. You ever seen bitterness? You ought to see it from up here. Man, folks' faces, they break out in words. Amen. I told my preacher, I called him one day. I said, "Brother David," I said, "the closer I get to where I feel like the Lord could really use me, the more the devil tempts me. The closer I get to where I feel like the Spirit of God could actually do something with me, this is the more wicked I know I am." Amen. I've heard all them statements, you know, "God will leave enough fleas on you to know you're, let you know you're a dog," you know, and all that stuff. And I guess part of that's true. I don't know. But I know this, folks. If anything good come of us, we probably got to be broken first. Old Brother Jimmy Hood. Y'all know Brother Hood. Brother Hood, he just had another heart attack here not too long ago. But I think he's recovering all right. We're supposed to be together next week. But Brother Hood, when they prayed and ordained him and the fellas laid their hands on him and prayed for him, he said Brother Dan Metters was right over top of him. They had other guys, you know, all surrounded him. They was praying for him. He said he heard all the guys praying, you know, and that's an exciting time in a preacher's life. But he said out of all the prayers, he heard Brother Dan, he's right in his ear, and he heard him say this, "God bless old Brother Jimmy." And he hesitated and he says, "Lord, be gentle with him when you have to break him." Brother Hood goes, "Huh?" He said, "I didn't understand that prayer till later when God broke him." Amen. I don't know. I know this, the same people sitting around in here that's gone through problems, when you go through theirs, when you go through yours, they'll know how to talk to you.
That's right.
So you better be careful how you talk to them now. Amen. And let me say this about these others. They made news in heaven. They're recorded throughout the rest of time. Boy, I could tell you story after story. They go streaming through my mind. All the places I go, people with cancer, heart attacks, kids, wives left them, preachers left them. I preached revivals before when I've got into town and the preachers left town. I preached revival before with no pastor there. He'd left. He'd done run off. I come in one time and his resignation note was on the pulpit. Left them all. Left them high and dry. Didn't even. Amen. I've seen a lot. And those folks, I'm telling you, it ain't the preachers. It ain't the big shot evangelist. Don't listen, folks. Don't you ever think just because a jaybird comes flying through here and preaches to you a week that he's some sort of celebrity. He's not. Amen. These messages, I get to preach these things 50 and 60 times apiece. Man, what a preacher. No, I've preached that message. I can preach it without even looking at my notes. Just different. Amen. The pastors, they got to preach to y'all knowing, they know when you're mad at them. Get up and preach when you've laid out of church last week and he got to get up and preach to you. And you're the only one that did. So if he says anything, you'll get mad and lay out again the next week. So listen, folks, your church and your preacher, man, fall in love with it. Amen. And when you come and when you fight against that adversity and you're here anyway, I'm telling you, faith has to say, whew. Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now as we speak. And if I think this is right, they can look down in here and see everything going on. They look down in here, and there's some folks sitting here, some of you kids even. Everything seems like it's just crashing in around you. Everything's happening. And the Lord's watching. And he sees you just go ahead and worship him anyhow. Tell the cherubims there that surround the throne, hey, did you see that? You're created. You worship all day long, every day. You ain't never been through what they have. I have. I've been touched with the feeling of their infirmities. I was in all points tempted like they are, yet without sin. I know how they feel. Look what they're doing. Amen. They're here anyhow. That's why the angels, they see man go across that free will that he has and serve him and praise him anyhow. Amen. So you folks, you kids sitting here, if you leave old-time Bible-believing Christianity, if you walk out on us, you walk out and become a nut, get you a little long-haired little sissy boy that plays in a Christian rock band. She sits alone. You knew I had to do it. Had to stick it back in your head again. We watched one the other day. Kids, he's playing like he is. You know, their long hair play. You leave the church for something like that. You'll have to walk over them others to do that.
Amen.
Amen. You'll have to walk over people that love you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Sister Piet standing back there bouncing the babe. You girls. I looked at her house today and they's getting ready and I moved the door there and I was looking on the refrigerator. All them little pictures. You know whose picture she's got on there? You girls.
Amen.
I seen y'all's pictures on there. Amen. You get out of the will of God. You let your heart keep going like it is right now. You know what you're going to have to do? You'll have to step over her. You'll have to jaywalk across her heart. You know what the sad thing is? You keep going, you'll be able to do it. Amen. These folks sitting in here, I didn't see it last night. Man, I missed it. But our dear brother wiped out up here. I miss all the good stuff. But he's telling me about everything, you know, his back fused together. Man, the guy's falling apart. Look at him. He's only 23. But they've, every time I've been here, you've been here. Amen. I can't say that about the others sitting here. And some of these folks, I don't know. I guess there's times when my sister here don't feel good being, what, 83? 82? Oops. All right. Woo. I imagine there's times she don't feel like being here. Amen. Watched her slip around up here and pray at the altar and pray for folks in here. I'm telling you, folks, those are the others. Those are the others. Better be careful how you treat them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're going through it, what a divine opportunity to go against all the grain and let God just do a miracle with you. Know what that does? It gives other people sitting in here no excuse. No excuse. Bible says he's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the base things of this world. Amen. You know why he done that? You ain't got no excuse. If he could save me and call me to preach and use me in the ministry, you ain't got no excuse. Amen. The others. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You need to come tonight, slip around this altar. If you know some of those others that are sitting in here, it might be good to pray with them. Maybe a little bit of that will rub off on you. Got your brothers and sisters in here that are going through it. Some of you kids tried to get you to pray last night. I seen a little breakthrough in some of y'all. But boy, some others are hard, hard as nails. Would you come tonight? Would you come? How about it? Maybe you need to be saved. You can settle that. Settle it like Jeff did. Just get it fixed.
Amen.
Get it fixed. Young lady, are you saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? That old world out there, they won't love you like Jesus. They won't love you like God's people will. You need to come? Come on. Slip out of your seat and come. Say, God, I want to just give it all to you again. Surrender my life. Submit to you, Lord. Take my life and use it. Would you? Would you? Last time I seen my old preacher, the one was preaching when I got saved. He looked at me and he says, well, boy, have you been through it yet? I said, well, a little bit, Doc, a little bit. He said, is it worth it? I said, it's worth it. Oh, yeah, man. Stick with the stuff. You know why? He's an other. He's other. Need to come? Come on. Come on. I'll tell you what some of you need. You just need a good old-fashioned cry. Maybe an argument with the Lord do you good.
Amen. Lord, I don't understand this. Well, come down here tonight and find out what's going on. Amen. You keep it bottled in, I'm going to tell you something. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you. Need to come. Girl, what's got you so mean? What's got you so bitter? What are you mad at? Why does it just stream off of you? Why don't you get that fixed? Why don't you come? Come on, would you? Would you? Father, bless this invitation. God, have your way. Lord, help us here tonight. God, we need you. Lord, some of these others, they're down here praying right now. Oh, God, Lord, this is your business. Lord, you move around in here. Make us fit, God, to be used by thee. Bless the church here and the churches represented. God, our young people, Lord, put your hand upon them, God. Put a hedge about them. Use them for thy honor and thy glory. Bless these preachers and their families and their wives. Give our wives a blessing tonight. Lord, they have to go through it and see all the heartaches and troubles. Give them a blessing. Lord, I know through all that, Lord, it's a good report to stay with you. God, help us here tonight. In Jesus' name. Folks is praying. You need to come. Come on. Come on. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. We got some little ones coming. Amen. Thank God for tender hearts. Amen. Amen.
We was in a meeting here not too long ago, and I preached this message, and folks started going around the church. They knew all the people that were the others in their church. And they would go around and hug her neck. Amen. Brother Speroni's talking about that 40-year-old man, cancer. Has he got a wife, brother? Whew. That's tough. That's different ground. It's different ground. Boy, in those places there, you'll feel God move more than you will any other place. Amen. You know some of the folks here that's going through it. Maybe if you hug your neck, pray with them, maybe some of that will rub off on you. Amen. I stay with Jesse all week. Old Jesse, I forget he's blind when I'm with him. I've never heard him complain about being blind. Never heard him. I've known him since he was in Bible school. I talked him out of quitting one time. He's going to quit. And I've watched him. I've watched the Lord use him. You know what he is? He's one of the others. We've been in meeting before, and nobody talked to him because they're scared of him. They're scared of handicapped folks. One of the others. Amen. Amen. I think the Lord's kind of moving around, doing some things here tonight. Why don't you get in on it? Amen. We started this meeting off Sunday morning in Sunday school about thanking God for your preacher. The Lord's giving you all a good one. Amen. I think a good way to end it, just be thanking them again. He's up here praying right now, but in a little while he'll be done. Sister Piet is there, got the baby, but
She's got another arm. Some of you ladies want to hug her neck, tell you love her. Some of you girls. It'd be in order. It'd be in order. Every once in a while at our church, my pastor calls it a feast of charity. Boy, I miss that. He said, Brother Mark, what's the hardest thing about evangelism? I miss my church. We try to get the Lord to move and do things in other churches, and when he does, it makes me miss mine. My pastor, I was home not too long ago, and he hugged me and he kissed me on the cheek. And he told me, he says, you're my Jonathan. Pastor told me he loves me like David loved Jonathan. Made me stand up taller. Amen. My wife, she's home right now. She said, boy, everybody's asking about you. I go home, they all hug my neck. We love you, Brother Mark. When you ain't never here. Boy, my heart will ache. We had an old boy in the church. He done all the plumbing out at our youth camp. It's home, and I seen him. I said, hey, Brother Sam. He's an old country boy. I mean, you think my accent's bad. Big old thick mustache. He talked, and his mustache goes from side to side. He'd say, hey, how you doing, Brother Mark? How you doing? How you doing, Brother Mark? How you doing? I'd say, come here, brother. Give me a hug. He hugged me. He said, I love you. I love you. I love you, preacher. I love you, preacher. I left that service, went out on the road the next day. And I called my pastor about a week later. I said, hey, preacher, how's it going? He got real quiet. And his voice broke, and he goes, oh, Sam died, Brother Mark. I said, last time I seen him, last thing I said to him was I loved him. Well, I'm glad I did that. Amen. You don't know what's going to happen. I know this. D.L. Moody said, men of passion get the job done. You better love much. Amen. Got any neighbors that love you? These folks do. Folks, there ain't no other facet of life like the church. Is involved with the biker crowd. They all call themselves a brotherhood. Ain't no brotherhood. Not like this. Oh, you don't know what happened to me in the church. Shut up. They're still the best. Amen. Others. The others. Amen. Man, I don't want to close. It's been too good a week. Amen. Have you done what you needed to do? In the South, we say it like this. Is all hearts and minds clear? I could point out some tonight. Probably need to get saved. If I did that, though, folks would get mad. Is your heart pounding? You afraid I'm going to do it? Amen. Amen. Did he get saved?
No, I think he's going
to be saved. He's saved. Got assurance? Amen.
Just needs to live for God. Like we all.
Amen. Are we done?
Still some down here praying, but
are y'all done? This is your meeting. Heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I said, Brother Mark, I'm going to be completely honest with you tonight. I know I'm saved. I can take you to the place. God saved me. I know there ain't a doubt in my mind. I'm saved. I love the Lord. He rescued me. I am going to heaven. If you're like that, could you slip your hand up? put it down. While heads are bowed and eyes closed, would anybody say this? Say, preacher, would you extend this invitation a little bit? Would you make it go a little longer? Is there anybody like that? Slip your hand up. There's one hand. Say, preacher, I don't think we're done. Anybody else? All right. We'll tarry a little while. We'll tarry. You need to come. Come on. Step out and come right now, would you? Would you? Be a good time to come tell your preacher you love him. Be a good time you ladies get Sister Piette back there and tell her. Amen. Somebody relieve her. Take the baby and do a handoff. Do a lateral.